Now, on Bulldog Live, it's Second Amendment Tuesday. Joining Bulldog is attorney Penny Dean.
At 1-866-823-1077. Brought to you by Riley Sports Shop and Hooks It. You can visit them online at rileysguns.com. Attorney Penny Dean is next.
Now, I know the Constitution, and it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up. At least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
Again, Riley Sports Shop, located at 1575 Hooksett Road in Hooksett, making Second Amendment Tuesdays possible right here with attorney Penny Dean on Bulldog Live. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning.
All right, great to have you back.
Thank you. You know, we have some naughty bangs this week.
You know what? I was afraid of that. I was actually thinking of constitutional carry yesterday when I was talking with House Speaker Bill O'Brien.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and we're just waiting to see what the Senate is able to do with it, if they do anything.
The Senate is doing things that I can't say on the radio because they're mean. But let me tell you about constitutional carry, what's happened. And a lot of people, even though they took civics long, long ago in high school or whatever, they don't understand government and the process, if you will. And we all know that a bill has to, you know, originate in either house. And they flop back and forth, at least in New Hampshire. So this bill originated in the House. 80% of the good stuff was cut out of it. So we have a sliver of our rights that we were going to get in the House. So the House cut 80% out of the bill. And the bottom line is that there was 20% of good stuff left. But we as firearm owners said, okay, you know, we're trying to be reasonable. We're trying to take what little slice of crumbs and crust they're going to give us, right? We send this over to the Senate. The Senate has done nothing but play with us. And have you heard what the House did to some of the Senate bills to try and get their attention?
Yes, I did.
Yes. I was like, yes. Some of our elected officials care about us. Not all of them, but some of them.
Yes.
And so the
what they're doing, in case anybody can't follow that one for a moment, because the Senate has rejected so many House pieces of legislation or watered them down, the House is saying, yeah, to heck with you. We're going to take your legislation and trash it. And then we're going to attach our stuff onto bills that you guys desperately want passed. Like, how do you want to play? That's basically what they're doing.
That's exactly what a great idea. Because I'll tell you what they're doing. I've never been so disgusted. I heard Senator Groen say, before he introduced, that he's going to introduce this thing, I support the Second Amendment. And I'm telling you, if they'd had a barf bucket there, I'd have filled it. Because how can a man say that with a straight face when he's introducing legislation that Sarah Brady would be proud of?
Uh-oh.
You know, I'm just looking at him going like, you've got to be kidding me. And let me tell you what has happened on 536 and some other firearm bills in the Senate. We as firearm owners are absolutely disgusted, and I can't even use the words I think of on the radio, by the Senate and their behavior. They had, for people that don't know, after a bill has a hearing, they have what's called an exec session, an executive session, whereby the committee debates and discusses the bill.
Right.
And during that session, the public can't speak, but you can be present and you can audio and video record what's happening.
Yes.
And we're going to be uploading those to GoinH's website. And when people look at them, I hope they're going to be as disgusted as I am. Because what we have is people just taking our firearm bills and trashing them.
Can I ask you one question? Was Senator Groen part of that committee?
Yeah. He's part of judiciary. He's a member of judiciary.
Did he make changes to that bill?
Oh, let me explain to you what a change is. Amend the bill by replacing all after the enacting clause with. In other words, they took 536 and they threw it in the trash and they substituted their amendment.
I ask this because I watched Senator Groen in action before on the Senate Judiciary Committee on House Bill 648, the property rights bill. And he was always talking about these changes to it, except it was a change that he agreed with. But on every other possible change to a bill that could have made it somewhat better, he was like, oh, no, we can't make changes to that bill because there's no benefit of a public hearing on this. So you would be changing the bill. We can't do that without a public hearing. So, and I'm sitting there going, what a bunch of crap, because I know you've done this before. And here he's doing it again.
Oh, this to tell you how slick this was done, let me tell you what happened first, and this is, quite frankly, offensive. Last Wednesday, the Senate calendar had noticed they would have executive session on 536 and about four other firearm bills, okay?
Yes, uh-huh.
So Goin' H sent out a Minuteman alert, had a passel of people that more than filled the room. Let me tell you what happened next and tell me if you're as disgusted as I am. I'm there, and one person will at least give him the courtesy of not being named, even though he deserves to be named. He says, Penny, are you guys here for all the gun bills? I said, of course we are. They were noticed in the Senate calendar. They're supposed to be heard here. Of course we're here. Of course we are, right?
Uh-huh.
So, and I get the... So, we look at what's noticed on the door, notice everywhere else, it's all the bills. And so I get the, well, we're not sure we're going to get to them today.
Oh, really?
Right. I said, so what's that mean? Like, translate that for me in plain English. Well, we're pretty busy and we might not get to them. I said, listen, not to be short with you guys.
I've heard this one before. The previous legislature has done crap like that, too. Yes.
Yeah, not to be short with you guys, but I have all these people who took the day off work.
Yep.
Came here to be present and to see what's going on here. And here's
been
what...
there. Well, seen that before, too.
Yeah, yeah. Playing this game, well, it gets even funnier. So they said, well, you guys are all going to be here tomorrow for the bills being heard tomorrow. We can just hear it then. I said, no, all these people aren't going to be here tomorrow. They took the day off work.
Yeah, they took the day off today, not tomorrow. Some of these have businesses to run.
Tell me how many of you that have employers or even have businesses, you take the day off. It's a waste, okay?
Uh-huh.
Boss, they didn't have it today. Can I take tomorrow off? Okay, first, even if your boss is really nice and they can spare you in the business, tell me if your pocketbook can spare another day.
Right.
That's the bottom line. So
what
happened was, and this is the part I'm waiting to hear the audios before I open my mouth, but I have a feeling there's some naughty things went on. But I'll wait to hear the audios before I say anything. But the bottom line was we had a couple members who stayed for the entire thing. I stayed for part of the other hearings, which went very quickly, and they would have easily had time to hear the firearm bills that day. But I believe they didn't because they had a whole mass of people who were going to be watching them. And they wanted to, you know, because, you know, if you keep delaying it, people can't keep coming back.
Yep.
They just can't. So.
Well, at least they think.
Yeah.
I've seen that Judiciary Committee hearing filled quite a few times, and I've had some small role in that, too.
Good for you. Good for you. Well, I'll tell you what. It is absolutely disgusting to me what they did on 536 and the other bills. And the other thing is what I've heard opinions.
Did they get to it on the day that it was originally scheduled, or did they do it the next day? What did they end up doing?
Absolutely did not get to any of the firearm bills on the day it was originally scheduled.
Unbelievable. There's the Senate Judiciary Committee in action once again.
None of them. So all of us who I'd set up cameras and, you know what I mean, we're ready to have a hearing. So
Jim Luther, Matt Hood, who's not running for re-election, Sharon Carson, and Fenton Groen.
Bingo, Bullseye.
Those are the four members of the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Yes, and those individuals. So finally,
there's
they
one more
around,
I'm forgetting. I'm sorry.
Forsyth.
No.
Senator Forsyth.
He's not on the committee, is he?
Pretty sure.
I don't think he's on the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Okay, maybe you're right.
Sorry.
Maybe
I know
maybe
he's on
right.
Education. That I do know, but I'm trying to remember who. I should know this.
Don't you hate it when you lose your mind? You know,
you're not kidding.
You know, I just look at this and I go, okay. According to this, and at least my recollection is, Hood is the chairman. Sharon Carson's the vice chairman.
Yep.
Fenton Groen.
Yep.
Jim Luther. James Forsyth. And the reason I know that, Forsyth offered the horrible amendment that Groen's going to offer on the floor.
Okay. Well, anyway, we'll continue.
Yeah, we'll continue, right.
What's the Forsyth Amendment, and how does that gut this bill?
Well, let me just finish real quick about what happened about the hearing. So we have this dialogue back and forth.
Isn't this awful?
It's horrible. And I said to them, look, if someone like the chairman or vice chair is willing to say on the record that they're going to hold these hearings tomorrow, we'll leave. Because we have had committees before tell us that they might not get to it. And guess what they do? They take it up at the end of the thing when we've all left.
Yep.
So I've seen these movies before, and you only have to throw dirt on me one time, and I go, I'm going to learn from this.
It's kind of like town meeting, why you have to stay to the very end until they actually adjourn the meeting.
Bullseye. So literally, we got them to say on the record that they're not going to hold here exec sessions on these, but they're going to do them tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
So we said, not fine, but what are you going to do? You know, you can't make them do it. So we leave, and the next day, after the hearings on the firearm bills, when they're in executive session, I heard interpretations of the law that I said to myself, I don't think I read the law that way. You know, they were back and forth and back and forth, and they were debating several different bills. But to get to this bill, because I know this is the one people are most interested in, 536, which is...
And yes, Forsyth is on that committee.
Yep. Forsyth is the one who offered this bad amendment. Now, here's the way it works so people understand.
And he's not running for re-election, by the way. So there's two members of the Judiciary Committee that are not running for re-election.
And let me tell you what. I can't prove this, but I'll tell everyone my theory, okay? My theory is that Forsyth volunteered to take one for the team because he's not running for re-election, so he can't be punished by voters. So he just whips out of his thing, oh, I just so happen to have this amendment here. Why don't I offer this amendment? Oh, and we have Senator
another legislative trick. Pull out stuff at the last second that nobody's had a chance to read before they come in for the... Oh, yeah, I know.
Yep. I hadn't seen it before, okay? And no one asked GONH or any firearm group, hey, what do you guys think of this amendment? You know, they didn't care. Nope. So they whip it out, and we're all looking at each other going, okay, where's this going, right? And we get the bit, they're going to play what I call this game. Oh, no, it's not any senator's bill. It's the committee amendment. The committee voted to offer the amendment. Yeah. So if you buy that, so if you look at this horrible, horrible amendment, what it does is take the remaining...
Stop right there. If the committee offered that amendment, at what point in the process did they offer the amendment outside of an executive session or public hearing? If that is the case, I want to do a 91A on their butts.
Well, I'll tell you what. They offered it in the executive session.
Yeah, they offered it, but now they're saying, oh, this is a committee amendment. Oh, you mean the whole committee met to discuss this amendment beforehand? I don't think
well,
so.
Well, let me put it to this way. I'd kind of like to know about that because everybody seemed pretty darn familiar with it or real comfortable with it. So
yes,
I don't know who did what. I'm just telling you that the normal questions that one would ask about an amendment and go through it weren't being asked. So one can only presume that there could be issues. So I don't know what happened.
I don't mean to laugh. Patty, I'm sorry. What? I have seen this exact same thing play out before this exact same committee before on a different issue. It is comical. It must be the script on how they conduct each of these sessions.
Yeah, well, because you know what? We shouldn't have to have a public hearing for this whole replacement, should we?
Oh,
do we need a public
much.
Hearing?
No. No.
So what they're trying to do is just flat mess with they, I've never seen a more large bunch of rhinos congregated in one area other than the New Hampshire Senate. That's where they gather.
I know. It's nice to see six members of the Republican Party show up at the Senate sometimes, you know.
Well, holy crap. Did we elect them to do a job? I guess they're not getting paid enough money, so they're not going to show up. I don't know. You know, I don't know, but I can tell you that
now
this...
I'm done dumping on them. Now let's talk about what exactly the Forsyth Amendment did and how constitutional carry, House Bill 536, has been gutted.
Gutted? Let me put it to this way. You need to kill this. It gives you nothing and it takes everything away.
Oh, great.
As
for example.
For example, okay, they took Because remember how we all objected to them incorporating federal law into state law?
Yes.
So they just took all the exact words and put them in there, but didn't write the words we incorporate 18 U.S.C. 923 in. Like, because we're so stupid, we're not going to know that, are we?
No.
Yeah. So I said, okay, we really like it when you put federal law in here, because we think the New Hampshire firearm rights should be governed by federal law, governed more specifically by federal law. Of course, we're governed by federal law, but we think we should incorporate it into our state law statutes. Now, we look at this, and they have added things to really make it difficult for a lot of people. First of all, they have restricted the time frame that we can get licenses. They have, in this particular bill, they have made things that, for example, right now under New Hampshire law, if you get a conviction annulled, okay, and we know how easy it is sometimes for a person without money or with a bad set of facts to get convictions that really don't deserve convictions, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you get your conviction annulled, in New Hampshire, your firearm rights are restored.
Yes.
Okay, as it should be. And federal law even has a specific provision, but whoever was drafting this only looked at one part of federal law. They didn't look at its brother.
Ah.
And so what they did was they put in all the restrictions and none of the, but if you've been a good boy, you get your rights back. So what we have is people who are going to be disenfranchised in New Hampshire for life of their firearm rights.
Great.
Oh, isn't that good?
What, first of all, why are they attaching anything to do with annulments into a bill that just simply does away with the licensing requirement to carry a handgun?
Well, they don't explicitly use the words, but by their omission, they have huge effect, because all of this language that they took from 18 U.S.C. that's from 921, 22, 23, okay? If you look at federal law, they say a person who's been convicted of or is in this situation and they have a whole laundry list, cannot own firearms. But then it says, however, if that person has had their record annulled, expunged, sealed, you know, they have a whole laundry list, restored, then that person is no longer prohibited. But here's what they did here. In this particular drafting of the bill, who the guy deserves like a, what is it they give in journalism? Is it a raspberry or? What's that bad award?
Well, there's several of them out there, yes.
Okay, well, whatever that bad award is, they deserve it, okay? Because the bottom line is they're adding all sorts of restrictions to your firearm owner's rights, okay? But the bottom line is they've used language sloppily in some instances and given you no what I call givebacks if there's been a mistake or something gets annulled. And people don't understand that. For example, suicidal people. People say, you know, you don't know what's going to happen to you in your life. There's people that tried to commit suicide in their lifetime. Maybe a one-time horrific event, right?
Uh-huh.
And let's say they get what's called IEA, which is involuntary emergency admission. And let's say they let you out in 2 or 3 days and say, look, you had a horrible, horrible time. You know, you're 50 years old. This has never happened to you in your life. You know, we're getting therapy. You know, you didn't try to hurt anyone. Go on about your business. Under this bill, you are going to be disenfranchised of your firearm rights for life. And the bottom line is, or what if there's a mistake? There's been a couple, three cases where people have been given by their doctor prescription drugs, and either their pharmacist or their doctor wasn't paying attention, and they had a drug interaction. And those drugs made them appear as if they're ill. So they have been, you know, taken to the state hospital, and it was been a legal interaction of drugs.
Uh-huh.
Okay, those people, for life. Now, of course, if you commit a crime, there might be a way to get your thing annulled, but if you didn't commit a crime, which is typically like most of my clients, you're out of luck for life.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, we could go on and on of the benefits of this bill, but whoever wrote this did not take legal drafting 101. They don't understand the interaction of laws and convictions, but more importantly, okay, they put in all these additional penalties and balderdash that what they're trying to do is it's what's called a poison pill. Mm-hmm. You know how sometimes they put in poison pills in a bill so that they'll kill the bill because it's so bad?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yep. Exactly.
And that's exactly what they've done here.
So
that's
what happened is now Penny Dean joining us here, brought to you by Riley Sports Shop and Hooks at Second Amendment Tuesdays on Bulldog Live. You know, gun owners of New Hampshire supported the original House Bill 536.
Yep.
But yet now you're saying they should oppose it because of all these changes and what happened in that committee. But I would say, wouldn't it be better to contact your senators to say reject the committee amendments and go with the original version?
That is exactly what they should be doing.
Okay.
That is exactly what they should be doing. And the other thing, and I've sent you a couple of letters, because I always believe and people should vote with their wallet on people who don't treat them well. Okay?
Okay.
We have the Bank of America that's refusing to do business with McMillan Stocks. Anyone who knows stocks, McMillan makes great stocks. They make a lot of really good things. And after 12 years with doing business with Bank of America, Bank of America figured out they're into firearms. And they called them into the bank and told them, basically, we don't want your business.
Isn't that nice? I mean, I've seen this one floating around the internet, but it's just like, imagine you. The customer, the depositor, the bank depositor saying, okay, I've been here for so many years and you're just figuring out what I do for a living. Or better yet, how would you like to be the guy instructed by Bank of America to call the client in and tell them this, to chase their business away, however many dollars that company does business with the bank? I mean, you know, this is from Bank of America, for crying out loud. Who's lucky if they're going to be alive tomorrow?
Do you want me to tell you what's worse? I think all the Bank of America board of directors should be told about this, because the question is, do you want your employees acting like this in these tough economic times?
Boy, they just can't stop, can they?
Yeah. I mean, think about this. Think about this. You know, so I think the other thing that I think people need to know is there's a couple of organizations that I never would have thought of as anti-firearm, but I have letters from them on their letterhead, okay?
Okay.
And I sent them to, it's called the New Hampshire Recreation and Park Association. That sounds pretty innocuous, right?
I've heard of them before.
And the Recreation Center of New Hampshire. And I have sent you two letters. They actually, I've been going to firearm bills and committees for probably around 17 years in New Hampshire, give or take. And I have, if they've ever been at a hearing, I don't recall them. Maybe I'll have to think harder, but I don't ever recall seeing them at a hearing, because pretty much in certain worlds, you know all the players. They came in with the old tired thing. It's for the children. We just want safety of the children.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Sure.
And so, and when they say that, the presumption is that we as firearm owners are idiots. And it's really quite insulting. So I want listeners to know, if you are a member of the New Hampshire Recreation and Park Association or know anyone that is, you might want to consider voting with your dollars and not being a member of that association. Because do you know that they are, and we've got letters that I sent to Bulldog, that they are basically lobbying and encouraging the Senate committee to kill pro-firearm bills and to pass bad bills.
Well, you know what? I will post these on my website tonight on the Second Amendment Tuesdays page at briantilton.com under today's postings. When I, later on tonight, I'll have it up there. How's
Yay.
That sound?
Yeah.
Okay,
just
very good.
Because
well,
I always like people to hear things in the other person's own words. In other words, you look at the words and what they're saying and see if you agree with them or want to spend your money or be part of those entities.
All right, got you. Well, Attorney Penny Dean, how do people get in touch with you in the meantime?
230-9999, and please, everyone, call in 536. Please,
yes,
please,
call
please.
Your senators, tell them to reject the Senate Judiciary Committee's amendments and go with the original version, and everybody will be happy campers then.
That's exactly right.
All right, very good. Well, again, thank you to Riley Sports Shop in Hooksett for making Second Amendment Tuesdays possible right here on Bulldog Live. They are located at 1575 Hooksett Road. You can reach them at 485-5000. Stop by their store Monday through Wednesday, 9 to 5, Thursday, Friday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., Saturday, 9 to 5, Sunday, 10 to 5.